Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Back Porch Writer Podcast, the show for writers, about writers, and writing. It's live, fun, and informative. Each week, I chat with writers, editors, and industry pros to give you and me a heads up about this whole new awesome publishing world. Back Porch Writer is about creating the life that you want through writing and publishing. Are you ready to tap submit? Let's explore the possibilities together. Welcome to Back Porch Writer. Welcome to Back Porch Writer, the show for writers, about writers, and writing. I'm your host, Corey Miller, and today is September 13th, 2016, and it's just a really nice, cool rain outside right now. I am so excited because fall is just right around the corner, and I absolutely love fall. And if you've been listening to the show for a while, you also know that that means our annual Halloween shindig is going to be coming up, and so I've got lots of planning to do. I've got to get Alfred the giant spider outside and put him up. Actually, I can't even put him up. He's too big. I need help putting him up. He has a just really huge body. His body is one of those large water containers, big plastic water containers that they use in fields and things like that. I think it's huge. I don't even know what it's officially called. Probably not called that. But anyway, it's really big. And then I use PVC pipes to make the legs. And so the legs are in two pieces. And I don't even remember how long those are. You know, 6 to 8 feet. I don't know. They're long is the point. And then there's two pieces of them. So Alfred, the giant spider, needs to get out very soon, probably sooner than usual, just because he's been tucked away for so long. And we can see him over by one of our buildings, and you can see his eyes because they glow in the dark. Occasionally it freaks out the animals, which is, I have to say, a little bit entertaining. I'm not going to lie. That's actually kind of funny. So anyway, today is a great day. My head is swimming with all sorts of developmental psychology information because I have a quiz today to take. So I've been studying for the last couple of days with that and just going over all the information. It's so much fun. I absolutely am loving my graduate class. And then I picked up a book called Persuasion, and I cannot remember the author's name, but he wrote years ago the book Influence. And this book, Persuasion, just came out, and I got it on Audible, of course. And I just started listening to it. It's really good. I'm really enjoying it so far. I can't tell you a whole lot because I haven't gotten that far into it. But I love the style of the author, but I also love the style of the narrator in the book. And so I can't wait to get through that book. I've also been listening to a book called Sapiens. Fascinating book. This book is more like a lecture series. It's 20-some-odd chapters. It's kind of like listening to or reading Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman. It's one of those sorts of books, and there's a lot of information there, and so you have to listen to it a little bit of time and then digest and chat about it with other people. It's that sort of thing, but also great, great book. So check those out. It's called Sapiens, and then the other one is Persuasion. That one, as I said, just released, I think this week, no, last week. Sometime last week it released. So today, of course, we'll be talking about books and book releases with an author right here, right now. I want to bring Trace Conger onto the program. He has written a book called The Shadow Broker, which was the first one. Actually, he wrote a book before that, but the first one in the series is Shadow Broker. And I downloaded the sample for that and started reading it last night. And I have to say, I love his style of writing. And I don't know how to describe it. So I'm going to let him describe how he writes. If you go over to Amazon, you'll see that one of the descriptions about him is this: his writing is very tight, and it truly is. So I love that. This particular book, The Shadow Broker, won the 2015 Seamus Award for Best Indie PI Novel, which I'm so envious of that right now. I really should look into that, but I haven't yet. But in any case, he's here to talk about his latest book. So, Trace, welcome to Back Porch Writer. How are you?
I'm doing well, Corey. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm a big fan of the show and really happy to participate.
So what is the book that's out now? Because I was about Shadow Broker, which, like I said, I'm really enjoying reading that sample. Just started it last night.
Great. Yeah, I'm really happy
to
hear
style.
That. So The Shadow – thanks. The Shadow Broker was the first novel in the Mr. Finn series, so that kind of kicks everything off and really introduces reader to who Mr. Finn is and why he does the things that he does. The second book in the series was called Scar Tissue, which came out last year. And then the book that I just launched officially yesterday – is The Prison Guard's Son. So that's kind of the third novel in the series. and kind of takes Finn to somewhat of a more emotional and kind of a darker place than he goes in the first two, if you can believe that, because I think the first two are pretty dark in their own right, but the third one is loosely based on a real life child murder, which having two young kids myself was you know very emotional and very dark to read about. So I wanted to leverage that and kind of channel some of the emotion and the feelings that came out of that real world case. It's kind of a jumping off point for Finn in the third novel. So it was I think the third novel was in my opinion was the most fun to write, I think, because I had already had two novels under my belt and the whole process was a little less intimidating than the first two were. But and as far as my writing style, I have a background in corporate writing and freelance writing. And in those industries, you have to write very tight. There's not a lot of fluff. I mean, it's a lot of it is kind of boring, mundane business, you know, stuff anyway. But there's no fluff. And so a lot of that, it really just transitioned over into the way that I write fiction. So I think it's very similar to kind of some of the old pulpy novels where, you know, you don't get a lot of flowery language. You really just get the story. So,
right. And I love that. Your style, it reminds me of, that's the style I write. I don't like a lot of fluff, and I don't like to read a lot of fluff. And another author who is like that is a guy named John Rector, who was on the program in my first year. And so if you've never looked into his books, he's out of Nebraska. And he writes some great books, but real tight like that too. And you get totally enthralled. I couldn't put the one of the books that I read from him, Out of the Black, I couldn't put it down. I was done in like 2 days reading that book because I just was completely into this book. And so that's kind of what I was finding myself doing last night when I was reading this. And, you know, there was a storm and so I was reading your book, and then I fell asleep. Then there's a storm, and I'm like, oh, I'll read a little bit more.
Like, hopefully my book isn't what put you to sleep.
Oh, no, but see, my habit is reading fiction at night. So it is what puts me to sleep. It has nothing to do or doesn't say anything about whether the book is good. It's just a habit that I have. The reverse of that, I can't read nonfiction at night because it'll keep me up and all that. So it's just a habit I've had for a long time. But I like the way that you write quite a bit. Now, I just read about the book that you have out now, The Prisoner's Son, right? And I'm not sure I could read that because, as you just pointed out, it's about that murder of these kids. And I'm like, oh, that would just be so hard for me. So I can't imagine writing that. So how long did it take you to write the book, and did you have to take moments and just stop because it became too much?
You know, I'm kind of in a fortunate situation because I do still do a lot of freelance writing, but I do not have like the typical 9-to-5 job. So, you know, freelancing really affords me the opportunity to work a lot more on my fiction projects than I would, you know, if I was in a typical, say, office setting. So I tend to write, because of that, I tend to write pretty quickly. And I think I actually wrote, and The Prison Guard's Son is the shorter of the three novels. I think it comes in at about, gosh, I want to say about 60,000 words, and I think the other two were around 80,000. So all that to say, I think I actually wrote the first draft probably in about 3 or 4 months. And then, of course, it went through beta review. It went through, you know, editing. So it probably doubled the time frame. But it was probably about 8 or 9 months, complete process. But you know, you're absolutely right, because I read about the James Bulger case, gosh, probably about 6-8 years ago. And it struck a nerve so deep that I haven't forgotten it. You know, it's one of those things that doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a crime author, you know, I read a lot about that type of stuff. My wife always is like a little curious as to why I read some of the things I do. But, you know, just for research, you want to kind of learn how people operate and some of these crimes that actually happened. And it was very, very difficult to read about and to research. It wasn't difficult to write about, and I would definitely stress that. You know, the book itself is not a graphic depiction of what happened. If you go, you can go back and read the case files on this case. This happened in England in 1993, and it's horrific. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's absolutely horrific what happened to this little boy. And, you know, that part doesn't really make it into the book. You know, it was not my goal to kind of retell, you know, what happened. I just essentially kind of used this idea of these two child murderers who are now in witness protection, which I found absolutely fascinating. There's so many fascinating things about the Bulger case. I mean, you had two killers who were 10 years old at the time. They murdered Bulger himself was only two. The youngest at the time, the youngest convicted murderers in England. They were tried as adults, which also never happened over there. For 10-year olds, it just seems crazy. And they served mm-hmm. 8 years in kind of a juvenile detention. It wasn't even a prison. But when they were released, because the crime, the government thought it was so heinous, they thought, you know, vigilantes are going to come after these two kids. Once they got out, they're going to have no shot, you know, at a real life. So they gave them new identities and basically put them in kind of what we would call witness protection, even though they weren't really witnesses. And I mean, that to me, that was fascinating on so many levels. And I thought, well, that's, mm-hmm. That's got the makings of kind of a plot point here. And one of the things that I've always tried to do in the Mr. Finn series is each book, kind of the antagonist or the person that Finn has to find, gets harder and harder, you know. And so I thought, I was really looking for what would be the hardest type of person to find, you know, that just your normal PI wouldn't be able to locate. Mm-hmm. And I kept coming back to witness protection because no one, if they follow the rules, no one has ever been found in witness protection. And so I thought, well, that's what I need to do. So now I need to figure out who I'm going to put in witness protection. And then I could not forget about that case and those two kids who were now grown up adults who were in, you know, a similar program, and that just kind of all melded together. And I'm like, well, there's the plot right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you explained that to me because I would have a hard time reading it. But now that I know that I won't be reading all of those details, I think I could probably handle it. Might be a little easier for me.
I would say, I learned my lesson in the first book. I think the first book, Shadow Broker, is a little more graphic than the other two. But, given the subject matter of the third one, which I think is very emotional at its core, you know, it really does not get into the details. It's much more the story about, you know, how does Finn find these people? And then there's a moral mm-hmm. struggle there because when Finn first takes the case, he's thinking, great, you know, these guys are horrible people. They need to be found. They need to be dealt with. And he kind of sets mm-hmm. all that emotion aside. But as he gets into the case and he's investigating and he finds out who these people really are, you know, there's this whole idea of, well, maybe people change. And, you know, yeah, they did a horrible thing, but, you know, look at what they're doing now. So he's got a lot of internal struggle mm-hmm. going on in this book about, because he knows what's going to happen once he turns over, you know, their whereabouts. I mean, he knows what the next step is in that process. So he really struggles with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned this is a series, but I get the impression I could read them independent of each other. Can I? Or is there an actual string that goes through each one of the books, so I have to start with number one?
You don't have to. Number three, The Prison Guard Son, actually works probably pretty well as a standalone. There are definitely some smaller storylines and plot points that have you read, you know, the first two, you'll definitely get more out of it. But you could pick that book up and read it and still get a lot out of it. The second one is almost, Scar Tissue, is almost a direct continuation of the first one. And a new mm-hmm. plot, though, new major plot, new antagonist. So, you would probably still mm-hmm. get something out of that one. But if you want the whole experience and you want to see the, you know, the common threads that kind of go throughout and kind of how Finn kind of evolves as a character, I would definitely advocate reading them in order. But you don't have to get mm-hmm. to get some experience there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you ended up with, on that first one, on Shadow Broker, I think it is, you had over 150 reviews for that book so far. How'd you do that?
It all came down to I did a BookBub promotion in which I gave The Shadow Broker away for free. I had just published Scar Tissue, and I thought, well, you know, I want to get this out because it's somewhat of a continuation. I wanted to get the first novel in as many hands as I could, hoping that they would, you know, then buy into the second. So I did a BookBub promotion, and I gave away in one day, I gave away, I think it was 54,000 copies.
Holy cow.
All ebooks, yeah. So a lot of those, you know, it really boosted a lot of things. It boosted sales of the second book. And it actually even boosted sales of the first book because it was only free for a short time, but there was still kind of this residual effect afterwards where people were coming back to buy it. But I think about 100 of those reviews, I think I had 50 reviews before that, and about 100 of them, I think, came almost directly as a result. I believe, I have no way of tracking the actual where the reviews come from, but I believe it was a result of that, because, I mean, it was just astronomical in the number of people who downloaded that book.
Mm-hmm. So what was the process for getting that BookBub ad for you?
So it was interesting because, as some of your readers might know, BookBub is very selective in who they pick, and I think they only do like one or two, at least when I did it, they only would spotlight like one or two books a day. So it was extremely competitive to get in, and they were extremely selective because of that, because, I mean, you were competing with some big-time publishers, you know, who are also using the mm-hmm. service. So you could be mm-hmm. competing with, say, James Patterson or Lee Child to get your book out there. And the first time I did it, the other thing I'll mention is no one really knows what the selection criteria is. You know, I've always heard that it has to have a lot of good reviews. It has to be out for a certain period of time, but they don't really publish that. So it's kind of like this secret fraternity about, you know, who knows how they really select these titles. But the first time I had submitted, I didn't get in. You know, they sent me a nice little form letter about 24 hours later, again, not explaining why your book didn't make it. It wasn't a good fit. And then the second time, I submitted it again a few weeks later, and for some reason, it was selected for a promotion in Canada and the UK, but not in the US. And I thought, well, I'll give it a shot.
Huh.
And I actually shot to the top of the charts in Canada. So that kind of told me that, you know, hey, maybe there's, you know, something to this. I mean, I'm seeing some results from that.
Right.
And then I had won the Seamus Award. And then I thought, well, all right, I got a little bit of clout now. So when I went back to BookBub and I submitted for a third time, I mentioned this award. And then it got picked up right away. So I don't know if the award had anything to do with it. It may have. But, I mean, BookBub doesn't really do a great job of telling you the specific criteria. But, I have a feeling it has a lot to do with, you know, your reviews and kind of how long the book has been out there. So, yeah, but that was tremendous, and I think that led to a lot of reviews. But I also, even before then, you know, I had in my marketing plan a big push to get reviews. So, you know, I went to readers who I knew had reviewed books similar to The Shadow Broker, and I also went to a lot of book blogs offering, you know, complimentary review copies and saw a lot of reviews that way. So I think that kind of helped my chances there.
Mm-hmm. How much time do you devote to the marketing side?
You know, I devote a lot at the book launch, and then that definitely trails off, I would say, the first 4 weeks after the book has been out. You know, I'm already starting the fourth book, and, you know, if I had all the time in the world, I would love to just, you know, market this nonstop because, you know, I think I'm a big believer in marketing and its effectiveness to move copies. But, you know, I mean, if you did that, if you spent all your time marketing, you're not going to write. And I'm more interested in marketing this for a few weeks and then moving on to the next book. So, but I typically, you know, market quite a bit at the launch. And then leading up to the launch, about the first maybe 6 weeks up to the launch, I do a lot of marketing because some of the book blogs that I approach won't review books once they're out. So they want advanced copies. So, you know, I pay a lot of attention to those guys before the book comes out. And then, you know, I still hit book bloggers pretty hard after the launch because I think that they're big influencers. And, you know, I think overall, I think book marketing is still a mystery to a lot of people. What works for you won't work for me and vice versa. It's definitely kind of mysterious. So I try to cover all the bases that I can, not exactly knowing what's going to work. But yeah, but I'd say about four weeks after launch, and then I kind of ease off and I'm on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me about the Seamus Award. I had another author on, either I think it was last year, who also received that award or was nominated. I can't remember now, but it came up then. So tell me about your experience with it.
Sure. Well, the Seamus Award is put on by the PI Writers of America, and they honor books who feature a PI protagonist. But it can't be like a detective. It can't be, I believe, a police procedural. I mean, it has to be kind of a very clearly defined PI, which Finn is. And, you know, it's an open submission process. There's no fee. Anyone can submit. I don't know the URL, but if you just Google PR Writers of America, it's all outlined there, exactly the steps to follow to get your book in, and you have to send it to a variety of people. They only review paperback, so you have to get it to committee. I think I mailed out like 5 copies, and they had it for several months, and then I got a notice that I was on the short list about probably 6 or 8 weeks before the BoucherCon convention, which I think just kicked off today, which is where they present the award. They've always presented it in tandem with that event. And that's a big mystery, I think the largest mystery author convention, I think, in the country. And so I got the notice that I was shortlisted, and I went to the convention, and I thought, well, it'll be great if I win, but I really was not expecting it. I think I was up there with, I want to say, like, 5 or 6 other novelists. And, I did the thing where I went and checked them out, once I saw the short list, and I thought, gosh, all these books sound really good. And, I'm not going in there with any high hopes at all. And was really shocked when I won the award. And it was on the first day of the convention. So it made the rest of the event, I mean, I was kind of walking on cloud 9 for the rest of the event, but.
Right.
So, yeah. So
that's,
I encourage
awesome.
Anyone to check it out. It's a great organization. And, it's great. I mean, if you're a fan of PI and detective fiction, definitely check it out.
Mm-hmm. So tell everybody where they can find you.
Sure. The easiest place to find me is on my website. It's traceconger.com, just TRACECONGER.com. I've got a newsletter there you can sign up for to get access to free fiction. I'm giving away a short story for anyone who signs up there. All my books are listed there, retail links. The Prison Guard Sun, I'm kind of doing a launch special since it launched yesterday. For the next week, it'll be available in ebook format for 99 cents, and then the price goes up after this week. So if any readers want to grab that, they can do it now, kind of on the cheap. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, but the easiest way to get to me, even if you want to email me, is all through my website. So I love interacting with readers. I do a lot of, book clubs and things like that, so would love to hear from people.
Oh, absolutely. Before I let you go, you brought up book clubs. How do you go about managing that, doing that?
If there's anything that's more mysterious than marketing in general, it's marketing to book clubs. They're very hard to find, and a lot of it is really kind of word of mouth. It's not as though you can – there actually are services out there where, you can find book clubs, but they're very few and far between. A lot of it is just knowing someone who is a part of one, perhaps going to either a library or bookstore or coffee shop where book clubs tend to meet. And finding them that way. And then I've always just, struck up a conversation and emailed someone directly and said, hey, I have this book. If you read crime and you're interested, check it out. I would love to, either come in and talk to the group in person if you'd be interested in that. I've also done, I did a book club in Chicago a while ago where it was all, video conference via Skype. So I kind of got to see everyone. And it was a great opportunity
Very
to,
cool.
Really engage right with them directly, which, I think every author should do because
mm-hmm.
That's your audience, and they want to hear from you. So it's a great way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Trace, for being on the program with me today. I thoroughly enjoyed this, and now I have to go check out because, I just got that sample. I'm going to have to go further and get the rest of the story and check out this next one for sure. I want to thank you again for being on the show with me.
Great. Thanks so much, Corey. I really appreciate it.
You have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
So be sure to go check out all of Trace's books over on Amazon.com. I was over there looking at everything earlier this morning. And as I said, I started reading Shadow Broker, really enjoying it. And now he's going to have the other one, 99 cents. You need to check that out. And he did mention you could read that one and not read the other one right away, so you wouldn't be completely lost. So go check that out. Thank you so much for joining me here on Back Porch Writer. Until next time, pull up a chair, sit a spell, and write.
Thanks for listening to Back Porch Writer. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe via iTunes so people just like you can find the show. If you've got comments, questions, or want to be a guest, visit backporchwriter.com for details. I'm your host, Corey Miller. Until next time, pull the chair, sit a spell, and write.